This episode is brought to you by Castor and Pollux, maker of America's number one organic pet food, Organix. Look for their newest line, Pristine, the only complete line of pet food made with responsibly sourced ingredients. Learn more at heritageradionetwork.org/pets.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. We're a member-supported food radio network, broadcasting over 35 weekly shows live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. Join our hosts as they lead you through the world of craft brewing, behind the scenes of the restaurant industry, inside the battle over school food, and beyond. Find us at heritageradionetwork.org.
This is Cynthia Cherish Malloran, Reverend and DJ Cherish the Love, and you are listening to Wedding Cake on Heritage Radio Network. Before I forget, let me tell you how to reach out to me and get my attention on social media, Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook at DJ Cherish the Love, that is love spelled L-U-V, and hashtag using Wedding Cake, all one word, and Heritage_Radio. You can also hashtag RevLove. So welcome to Wedding Cake. For those who might just be listening for the first time, this show, Wedding Cake, is a sweet revenge on my own wedding day years ago when I didn't get to have cake when I eloped in Vegas. So that marriage didn't work out, but I still love weddings. I love DJing them. I love writing the ceremonies and officiating them. I even love coordinating the surprise marriage proposals around New York City. So go to my website, DJ Cherish the Love. That's love spelled L-U-V. Reach out to me if you are planning on popping the question. I can coach you, and together we can make it epic. And the best part of the show, every week we get to eat wedding cake on air. And because I'm not bitter and I love love, I decided I should have my cake every week and eat it too. So if you need a DJ for your wedding or want me to officiate and write your ceremony, hit me up and check out our previous episodes on Wedding Cake on iTunes and Stitcher. So I can't believe we're knee deep into season two. So many fun episodes have been happening so fast. They're just zipping by. I'm eating so much cake, sharing it too. I'm not eating it all, trust me. Imagine. We've given lots of great advice with mouthfuls of cake, so be sure to tune in and subscribe on iTunes and find the previous shows on Stitcher and heritageradionetwork.org. So speaking of DJing, I am Whole Foods New York City's official DJ, so come hang and eat and listen to my select tunes every first Tuesday of every month, 6 to 8 p.m. Bryant Park, New York City. I hope to see you at the next one, December 5th, 6 to 8 p.m. Again, Whole Foods, Bryant Park, New York City. I'm also DJing for Food Network, New York Wine and Food Festival for Chef Anne Burrell, so get your tickets for tomorrow, Friday, October 13th. If you want to hear me rock the crowd with a rocking all-women set, go to www.nycwff.org. Excuse me. You can also find me as resident DJ at New York City's coolest, hottest new bar, lounge, restaurant in the West Village, Urban Vegan Kitchen. I am there Monday, Wednesday, Fridays, and Saturdays, unless I have another gig like Food Network. So I'll be spinning classics and unsigned and indie artists and stuff before 1995. So please send me your tracks and I'll put it out there in the world. Send to DJ Cherish the Love, love spelled L-U-V at gmail.com. And lastly, throughout the entire month of October, you can find me up on the main billboard in Times Square underneath the New Year's Eve ball drop. Pfizer has made me their DJ spokesperson for surviving cancer through creativity and music. So please look up if you're in Times Square. You'll see me pop up every 2 minutes. I think it's after pistachios and palm drinks, if I remember right. And we've launched an app called Living With that is so wonderful, and it helps cancer patients get the support and inspiration and organization they need. You'll find it in the app store called Living With. So for more info on that, you can follow me on Instagram at DJ Cherish the Love, L-U-V. So you might also remember my voice from my previous show on Heritage Radio Network called Primary Food. It hasn't gone away. It still very much lives. So search for it on iTunes and Stitcher because there are many, many gems about life, creativity, and my healing from cancer. And I'll be back on the Primary Food. But since we're still in the autumn wedding season, I figured we should all have cake and talk about love. So listeners, please listen up. You can call in live right now, 718-497-2128. 718-497-2128. This show, Wedding Cake, is produced by Heritage Radio Network, a nonprofit, member-supported radio station devoted to all things food. So help keep Heritage Radio Network alive by becoming a member today. Go to heritageradionetwork.org and click on the beating heart to donate. You can do it now. You can do it while you're listening. Do it while we're eating cake, and I'll love you forever. So again, you can call in live 718-497-2128 to join me. And hello.
Hey.
We've got Rose back today. This episode is McAdoo part two.
Which I love.
I love that. I was like, this is perfect.
It's obvious.
Rose McAdoo, founder of Whisk Me Away Cakes, using desserts to drive global change. Yes, that's right. Your wedding cake can have a lot more meaning and a lot more purpose behind just the pretty pictures. And that's why I have you back to feed us more cake talking goodness. But this episode is about veggies.
Veggies.
What?
I know.
What a vegetable-based wedding cake. You need to tell us about this. So veggies in your cakes. You know, we think traditionally of wedding cakes being super, super sweet. And you're introducing the thought of veggies going into it. That's still a sweet cake, right?
Totally. Yeah.
Totally. Okay, so tell us about this. Because when you mentioned that to me, I said, what's this girl talking about?
So I think we actually touched on it a little bit last week, too. But in 2015, I was a farm apprentice at Brooklyn Grange, which meant that I got a gigantic CSA share of vegetables to take home all the time.
Yes.
Which I'm really missing this year, as I've been more in the kitchen and less on the farm. But that year, I just had this overabundance of food, and a lot of it was I wasn't getting around too fast enough. And so it just became kind of out of necessity to a point. I was like, oh, I'll just... there's got to be something else I can do with all of this. And
so it
kind of started migrating into my other world, which was all pastry and desserts.
Now, do you look at things and you're like, how can I turn this into sweetness?
Oh, totally. We'd be like drinking coffee on the farm for sunrise harvest on Thursday and like harvesting all of the rainbow chard and be like, this can totally be a dessert.
Oh my gosh. Totally. I would never even think of that. I love this quote on your site. Whisk Me Away cakes are more than simple sweet confections. They're about merging culinary traditions and crafting a shared cultural language. You are a dessert diplomat, my friend. That's a beautiful statement.
It is.
So tell us about this wonderful pink pretty cake
so
you've made for
this
us.
This one, it was kind of an I'm experimenting on you. I hope that's
okay. Oh, yes. cake eating guinea pig is...
yes.
I'll take it.
I know. It's my favorite. So typically, we have a bright green cake sitting in front of us, and typically that would be a kale base. But today I used the leaves of rainbow chard, and it actually is a lot more moist and delicious, I think. Chard in general is more moist and less fibrous than kale, so it makes sense once I thought about it.
I love that.
Yeah, and then in between and on top is a kind of pale orange buttercream, and that has mixed into it some tomato caramel.
And that's why it's pink?
Yeah.
And speckled?
Yeah.
Like, let me describe this cake. It's just the perfect size for me. It's an individual cake.
It's an individual cake.
Okay, maybe not. It's a little bit bigger than that.
Generous of you to share. But that's
unnecessary. Right. And it's pink and speckled, and you can see I'll post a picture on Instagram. I just think you need to cut into that right now.
Right now?
Yeah.
Oh,
so again, tell me why you chose these flavors in particular. And I think it's so interesting because it's not your typical, you know, lemon chiffon cake. And this would be a wonderful wedding cake, I think. So she's cutting into your... oh my goodness! Surprise! It's green inside. I love this. Oh my gosh!
And then,
oh my goodness. Okay, that is adorable. I'm going to take pictures and post because people listening, you cannot see this.
You can think about it.
So why did you choose chard again?
Well, this one again was just an experiment. But it's important to me to... kind of the whole basis of Whisk Me Away Cakes is to use desserts to say something, whether that's bringing people together from around the world or whether that's kind of featuring desserts in a fun new way. And
yeah, like this.
Yeah, and kind of messing with food waste a little bit, too. In the United States, we waste 30 to 40% of all of our food. And that blew my mind to learn.
Wow. Hold on. Let's talk about that for a sec, because that makes me a little bit sad.
Yeah.
So food waste.
Food waste.
Is perfectly good, eatable food.
Yeah, and it could be not consumed for any reason. Like maybe it wasn't properly refrigerated. Maybe it shrunk over time. Maybe.
Or it didn't look perfect.
It didn't look perfect, right? That, by the way, ugly food is perfect for baking with.
Because let's talk about carrots.
Putting it into a cake anyway. Carrots.
So our idea of a perfect carrot is that single perfect, straight, perfect carrot, right? But actual organic carrots are all kinds of wacky shapes.
Yeah. Straight ones don't even, they don't even taste good. Those pretty show carrots.
The pretty show.
They're dumb.
This is a pretty show carrot. It's nothing more.
No, we want those gnarly, rooted ones that are all twisted up in each other.
I find them to be sweeter and more. Well, they just seem real.
Yeah. Oh, and they have a lot more flavor to play with too.
So you know, but do vegetables taste good in desserts? I think probably somebody's got to be wondering that listening to this. It's like a vegetable in the dessert, because aren't they just like so much fiber?
Yeah, I only make disgusting, disgusting things. Hopefully everyone will hate. No, they actually taste so good. And this is something that I really was not even sure was going to work when I started kind of playing around. But I kind of kept becoming very surprised as how everything was coming out. And so I did some research and I found out that a lot of, well, first of all vegetables have sucrose and glucose, which are the two sugars naturally found in other foods and
even
fruits.
A non-sweet vegetable.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
They all have trace amounts in whatever way. So carrots, since you were talking about them, they actually have the same amount of sugar as strawberries.
No way.
Naturally occurring. Yeah. There's a lot of room to play there.
Oh, wow.
A lot of room to play. And like tomatoes, which I've actually been using the most for caramelizing this year, they don't have much sugar at all, but they have just enough to, you know, stick to a pan and brown and become sweeter. Obviously, if you throw a little sugar in there, it helps too, but they have, vegetables have sugar naturally occurring in them.
I didn't know that, actually.
Yeah.
I just kind of thought they were completely devoid of sugar, and that's why they tasted like vegetables.
So healthy and delicious. I thought so too, actually, and so it was as I was playing around that I started looking into it.
Now, in all the traveling you've been doing, do you see vegetables being used as sweets?
I have. There's actually, I would say we're the culture that uses the fewest
least.
Amount. Yeah,
uh-huh.
The least. Thank you. I drink a ton of coffee right before this show. In the Philippines, they use a lot of ube, which is like a purple potato. That's all over the place there.
Oh, yeah. I know about that.
Yeah. Oh, it's so good. Lots of Asian desserts will use black bean and red beans for fillings or on ice cream. There's also this kind of rice ball in broth that is very popular as a dessert, and that is typically dyed hot pink. I have no idea why, but traditionally these little rice balls are dyed hot pink and they're soaked in a lemon syrup. And so I did a twist on that for a Korean barbecue dinner at the farm this year, and took a bunch of beets and dehydrated them and made them into powder and used that as the coloring agent, and then I want to talk about edible weeds, too, at a certain point.
I will totally ask you about that.
Okay, cool.
Let me make a note. And
ask about edible
weeds. I'm going to ask about edible weeds. Your site, food is powerful, desserts are your passion. We have stories to tell, and we have change to see. So tell me how you use foods, again, to create change.
I think it's by starting conversations. So specifically through vegetables. This summer, Whisk Me Away Cakes was the exclusive dessert partner for Brooklyn Grange's Butcher Paper Dinner Series, which meant that I had a captive audience of 60 to 75 people who had purchased a ticket to come to this dinner and had to eat whatever dessert was provided. There was no other option. And so it was the perfect space to play and experiment and get feedback. And that was really fun. And so it was a really playful space to introduce like candied rainbow chard stocks and kind of like spicy hot pepper chocolate cakes.
Wow. I love that.
Yeah. It was just really freeing, actually. I knew that whatever I made could be, I could receive instant feedback. And
it sounds so creative.
It was, yeah. There was a couple flops, I think.
What were the flops? Let me know what the flops
were. The biggest flop was this eggplant jam that I'm still trying to figure out. Eggplant's hard because it takes the flavor of anything. And a big focus of Whisk Me Away cakes and using vegetables in dessert is that I really want to feature the flavors of the vegetables. I don't want it to hide. I don't want it to be, oh, surprise, surprise, there's black beans in your brownies, but you didn't know. Like, that's the opposite of what I want. I want you to taste the vegetables. I want those to be showcased. I want that to be the focal point.
What is your process for developing, well, what's your creative process, yeah, for developing, like, a vegetable-based dessert? Do you just taste all the things and use your imagination, or do you have, like, some kind of plan or a scheme?
My goal is always to... A, initially freak people out. I really like shock factor, right?
So I want... Like I felt when
exactly.
you put this.
Exactly. I want love people... This. Oh, kale cake or tomato caramel or eggplant jam, whatever it is. I want that question to be there because then you have a captive audience. You have a place to say something or to explore an idea. And then from there, I tend to pick something that I might find a little challenging because then it... demands that I actually focus and work hard on it.
You like a challenge.
Yeah. And then there's an amazing book called The Flavor Bible.
Who's that by? Do you remember?
It's co-authored and I can't remember either of their names,
Look it up.
Course.
The Flavor Bible.
We'll come back to that. But it's like absolutely my Bible. You can look up any ingredient in it at all and it gives you like, you know, 15 to 25 pairings that would go really well. And so been a really cool jumping off
point. Is
that
how you sort of start to decide what will taste good?
Yeah, it definitely gives me a lot of room to play. And they're mostly savory pairings, but that can all translate really well into desserts.
Amazing. So yeah. I'm actually going to take my first bite of this little green cake with pink icing.
There's also some...
Oh my gosh, it's adorable.
Some candied rainbow chard sugar on top too.
Wow. Okay, wait. We need to take a music break.
Got to eat more cake. I want to eat cake.
I'm going to call it a cake eating break.
Yeah, no. It is.
We'll be back in a minute.
This episode is brought to you by Castor and Pollux, maker of America's number one organic pet food, Organix. You put a lot of care and thought into what you eat. After all, you're a food radio listener. That thoughtfulness goes hand in paw with how you feed your pets. Purposeful pet food doesn't happen by accident. Castor and Pollux scours the earth to carefully select the best organic and responsibly sourced ingredients. New Pristine from Castor and Pollux is the only complete line of pet food made with ingredients that are responsibly raised, caught, or grown. Feed your dog or cat the new standard, like grass-fed beef, wild-caught fish, and vegetables grown without synthetic fertilizers or chemical pesticides. Pristine from Castor and Pollux. Purposeful pet food. Learn more at heritageradionetwork.org/pets.
Oh, wow. This cake is so wonderful. And we just put the candied rainbow chard on top of it. You had to, I'm going to take a ton of pictures of this and post this because just visually and the textures, it's so excellent.
Thank you.
It's so, so wonderful. I need to take more cake breaks. That was...
That is everyone. My life is a giant cake break.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, David. Everybody needs to take more cake breaks. I love that.
I actually need to take less cake breaks. If we're being honest.
Well, I'll take some of your cake breaks.
Okay, I'm working cake all day. It's a problem.
We can equalize this.
It's not okay.
Well, that's an interesting thought. Like, so if you work making cakes all the time, like, do you ever get, like, fatigued from cakes in front of you?
No, that is the problem.
Oh, that's the problem.
Yeah, no, it's an actual issue. This is fine.
Oh, I love that.
This is a social endeavor.
This is a wonderful... Okay, so that was charred cake.
All right. Yeah, so that was the... leaves of the chard, torn up. I blanched them really quick, and then I just pureed them and added them in with my eggs to the creamed butter and sugar.
Just awesome.
Cake recipe.
What are some different ways to incorporate vegetables into desserts aside from, you know, cake and more?
I'm just going to list off some things.
I want to hear it all.
Okay, cool.
You know, like, just blow our minds with the potential.
All right. Well, first of all, vegetables in dessert is not a stretch. Like, the idea is not crazy. We use cornmeal in tons of desserts. Carrot cake, obviously the most classic
overmade
vegetable dessert ever, but delicious. Or zucchini bread with chocolate chips. Like, this is just a launching point for creativity and conversation. And it's just been really fun to try it in new different ways. And
so I love it.
Yeah. And so I've blended, as I was saying, with this chard cake, actually, that's a good example, blended vegetables into a base and added that into cake. I've taken the waste from juicing. We have a really funky little juice bar near my apartment in Bed-Stuy, and so I visit them a lot and take all their, like, pulp from what they've juiced.
Wait a second.
Yeah, they just give it away for free.
I could do that.
Yeah. No, they're happy to give it to you. They're like, yeah. They'll think you're really weird that you want it, though.
That pulp byproduct is exactly, like, what you need to make the... Okay.
And that's, like, juicing is one of the most wasteful food products. Like, it's ridiculous because the majority of what they're actually producing is just wasted. Yeah. So if you're taking that and then you can dry it, you can powder it, you can use it for natural food dye, or you can blend that in and mix it into.
I never thought about that. And I juice.
Yeah.
And I do, compost or throw the stuff away.
Composting, I'm a big fan of, if you remember from last week.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That
definitely.
Is awesome. Definitely compost. But yeah, otherwise throw all that stuff into, like, your whatever breakfast muffins. That's an easy thing to do.
I just love that so much.
Yeah, it's easy. And then there's also some kind of more funky and fun ways to play around. You can juice vegetables and use that liquid to make, like, a Swiss meringue buttercream or a curd. A lot of vegetables caramelize really nicely, so you can make a caramel. You can, like, with my tomato caramel, I also add in tomato paste at the end. So I use tomato juice and sugar, caramelize that classically, and then add in some, like, butter or cream or whatever I'm kind of feeling for consistency, and then add in tomato paste at the end for just a super, like, dark red color and rich
taste. I love it.
You can mix paste into, like, custards or caramels, or you can make jam with vegetables if you just treat them like berries.
What are some of your favorite vegetable-based desserts that you've made?
Ooh, favorites.
Because there's so many.
I know there's so many.
How do you choose a favorite?
Down. Oh, actually, so I have a cake coming out in New York Magazine's wedding issue this month.
Oh, that's no big deal.
I know. I'm so excited. I was trying to say that, like, very casually, but I can't.
I'm not going to keep that casual.
I'm really excited.
Let's say that one more time. You have a cake in this month's
New York Magazine weddings issue.
In the weddings issue. Yeah. That's a big deal.
I know. And I was like, you know what? It's going to have vegetables in it.
Oh, yes.
I'm not going to do lemon, javon, whatever. So it's
nice.
A bright fuchsia pink beet cake with these bright orange carrot caramel drips coming out.
It's the real deal of the wedding cakes.
I'm going to be the real weird one. I don't care. It's going to be so beautiful.
Yeah, keep talking about that cake. That sounds awesome.
Yeah, it was just, it's so beautiful, super colorful. I also added in, like, a carrot jam. So I made essentially like a carrot marmalade, which was really good. We did like a ground cherry. Are you familiar with ground cherries?
Yes, yes. Okay. They're the orange ones, right?
Yeah, they're like kind of a yellowish orange. They're related to tomatillo.
Are those the ones that have the wrap or the paper wrap around it?
Exactly. Okay. And they fall to the ground.
Leaf wrap, I guess I should
say. They're exactly like paper. And they fall to the ground when they're ripe, and then you just crawl under the plants and pull those all out. And so I've done a ground cherry and goat cheese tart. It's this really beautiful basil sugar over the top. You can also just blend up herbs with sugar and just dry it out. And it's gorgeous color and really flavorful.
I just love that so much. And this cake, I love so much, actually. I think I need to take another cake eating break. I forgot to mention that song that I played earlier. It's called Don't Marry Mermaids. They'll Always Miss the Sea. That's by Mamarazzi. This song, Daphne and Apollo, by our beloved Odetta Hartman.
raised by the rays of the falling sun. Cruel that rage of our true Cupid, they snapped the killer of the mighty python. So a typical, to Tipperary. Shoulders and low to have anything to do with men. Love fierce Apollo, Sorrento's. And so a typical to Tipperary. Ignites the heart and turns the other tail. As animals, the god to glory is so much less than
mine. Oh my gosh. Shameful. Inhaling cake like
not
the people
me,
at this
fine.
Window here.
Like, there's no judgment in this.
Shoving that cake in her face.
Cabin radio room.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Oh, Rose, is there any vegetable that you've decided absolutely cannot and should not become a delicious dessert?
That's awesome.
Where you're like, no.
This
no.
is done. No, actually,
bitter
not
melon.
Yet.
Bitter
oh,
melon.
Bitter melon.
Because it has that, I don't know if it's tannins or what. It's just that got that mouth feel.
Yeah. Well, here's another one.
That's my challenge for you. Bitter melon.
Okay. I will right. take that challenge and I'm going to bring you more cake or something. Yeah, I'm going to make you eat it. It's going to be awesome. I actually just found a recipe for durian cheesecake. You know, durian, like the fruit
oh
that is
God.
So god-awful to smell that they don't let it on public bus systems in Southeast Asia.
Okay. Can we talk about durian for
yeah,
a minute?
Yeah, let's talk about it.
I am of Philippine descent. And
I was so curious.
I'm supposed to like it. Yeah, and it
How do you
is
feel about
so,
it?
I'm so sorry if I'm offending anyone. It is so repulsive. I can't. I've tasted it so many times thinking that maybe my taste buds just have to mature or grow up.
Sure, yeah.
Like the way it was for beets when I was a kid. I hated beets.
Yeah. My mom has not grown out of that. It's the bane of my existence.
I love beets so much. Durian, oh my God. Every time I just like crack that thing open and it's like a spiny creature. It is so crazy smelling.
Oh, it is the craziest looking, craziest smelling.
Let me tell you, when I was in Hong Kong a few years ago, there was a sign in the hotel, no durian allowed. No, I'm serious.
No, I believe you. I really do.
And you eat it. So supposedly if you eat it, you know, as cold as possible, close to almost freezing, people are eating it. They're like, it's like ice cream, but to me, it's like onion ice cream.
It's like
garlic,
weird,
onion garbage. I
yeah,
don't know.
Garlic that's gone bad.
When you first tasted it, what did you think? I would never want a durian
well,
cake,
actually,
but someone out there, I'm sure, is drooling at that idea.
So the first time I ever had durian was at a backyard party in Bushwick.
That's random.
Yes, it was random. I used to work at Mass Brothers Chocolate. That's why I moved here. And way back when, the chocolate crew was very, very tight-knit family. And so we were all hanging out. And one of our friends put durian on a bunch of Ritz crackers and then carried it around on a tray and told
no.
people it was a fancy cheese and got
my goodness.
All these people to eat durian and be like, oh, it's really good.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So that was my first experience with durian. I was part of the serving crew.
But
I was
did
not
you
part
like
of the,
it?
Yeah. You know,
oh, you
I'm,
liked it. Okay.
I'm down. I don't think it's amazing. But it doesn't, I don't think it offends me in the way it offends your Hong Kong hotel owners.
I think you're the first person I have ever met who was in between either loving it so much or hating it so much. You're like, I'm down.
I'm down. Yeah, I feel fine.
It is
I'm not
so, going
to seek it out.
If you, yeah, exactly. I'm not about to seek it out either. However, I will try it again because I'm so curious to see if I start to like it at some point. Because that's how I was with uni.
Oh, yeah. Uni is crazy, too.
Uni is kind of like.
It's
reminds
like
me of durian almost.
Yeah.
It tasted really incredibly horrible the first several times I had it. Then one day in my late 20s, I was like, this is amazing.
I think you have to just keep trying food over and over and over.
Well, like, unless it's poison.
Unless, like, yes, that would be it.
I don't know why. This is killing me a little bit.
Should
yes, I keep
you
trying
should stop at that point.
Oh, my God. Yeah, so durian. Anything else that you think is like absolutely questionable for a dessert world?
Well, first of all, I'm going to try that durian cheesecake recipe. I'm very curious. I will bring some to you.
Okay. I will try it because you made it.
Yes. We will see what happens there. No, I actually have not found a single thing that I like that does not work in dessert so far. Like, there is always some way to incorporate something.
Yeah.
Eggplant is really just giving me the hardest problem right now. So
that's
if anyone
your challenge.
Has any ideas, hit me up at Whisk Me Away Cakes. I could use your advice.
That's right. What's your Instagram?
It's at Whisk Me Away Cakes on Instagram. And then my website is whiskmeawaycakes.com.
The sweet vegetable queen. Do you know any vegetable fun facts that you could share?
Yes, I do.
Like, you must have some fun facts.
I will tell you, drunk people do not care about vegetable fun facts. I've tried to bust them out at parties and no one's interested. So hopefully this is the right place for them. Radishes, fun fact, radishes were paid as wages to ancient Egyptian pyramid builders.
Oh my God, that's such a ripoff.
I know.
You're like,
I'm a radish lover, but... If I got that as payment for building a pyramid, I would be livid. I'd walk off in my ball and chain. Like, whatever, I'm out of here.
Oh, that's awful.
And you know how there's that big debate about, like, whether a tomato is a fruit or a vegetable?
Okay, I think of it as a vegetable, obviously, but I was told it's a fruit, so...
Exactly. So any, like, seed-bearing thing that comes from... flowering plant is a fruit. So a tomato is botanically a fruit. However, in the late 1800s, the Supreme Court, like this case went all the way up to the Supreme Court of whether a tomato was to be taxed or not, because vegetables were taxed coming in and fruits were not. And so there were so many tomatoes getting imported into the United States that the Supreme Court decided that for taxation purposes, tomatoes were to be labeled a vegetable. So they're sold in the vegetable section.
Controversy.
Yeah, I know. Very scandalous, those tomatoes.
That is very, very scandalous.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, I'm going to look at them and think very differently from now on.
I find these things fascinating. I don't know. Hopefully other people also care about vegetables.
So you mentioned earlier weeds.
Yes.
So are you cooking with weeds? Like, are you foraging, first of all?
Yeah. So first of all, when I get to the farm at Brooklyn Grange and I need to garnish my desserts, I grab a pair of scissors and I kneel down in the walkways and harvest whatever weeds are growing. And they have really cool different characteristics. They have really cool flavors. They're really beautiful. Some of them flower. So like purslane is a favorite. It's got this kind of like succulent vibe to it. So the leaves are very thick and they're very like they hold a lot of water in them. And so they're a nice like crispy, juicy bite in a dessert. But my favorite edible weed is actually wood sorrel, which it has like these little heart-shaped leaves. It's very sweet. It's very delicate, kind of clover-ish. And it has these really beautiful yellow little tiny blossoms, and it is so incredibly sour.
Oh, wow.
It is straight lemon.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and so it's a really cool garnish. It's a fun thing to play with, and it just grows rampant. Like, we can't pull the weeds fast enough on the farm.
Why are we so averse to eating weeds? Is it just because they're called weeds and we're just like...
It's just because they're
plants. They're plants.
Beautiful
because
plants.
Because the second you said weeds, I thought like dirty, evil plants.
Yeah, right? We'll talk about dandelions. They're like, they're the most outcast plant in the world. Everyone hates dandelions, except for little kids who like to like blow the seeds off. But dandelions, I mean, the common dandelion, you can add the leaves and flowers raw to salads. Like the yellow flowers are super edible. You can saute the leaves and eat them. You can make dandelion wine or jelly out of the blossoms. You can use roots actually to make like this weird coffee substitute, which I've never done, but I've heard about it. Like that in one plant, you can do so much with that. And I just think we've gotten really far away from that.
I would love for you to try to make a dandelion dessert.
I will definitely do that.
With the leaves and all.
Yes.
That would be so incredibly beautiful because I've worked with wedding couples and they like just love the color yellow.
Yeah, totally. Like, yellow is super trendy right now.
Yeah, what about a dandelion cake?
That's so doable.
All right.
And marigold petals also are super, they're super edible. No, they're just edible. Yeah, there's a lot you can do with edible blossoms and weeds and just, I mean, none of this stuff should be wasted ever.
No, that's true. So you're making me think twice about weeds. Also about the byproduct of my juicing and how I can use that for cakes and everything else.
So many good things. Yeah. Ice cream too.
Oh, God. We have to start ice cream at the end of the episode.
I know.
Seriously.
I know. I'm sorry.
So, you know, we were talking about how you use your desserts to drive global change. And do you feel like because it's sweet that we will sit around and talk and enjoy more? Is that like sweetness is a factor in like good communication? Do you feel like that?
I think it just opens up a different space for communication. I think that different conversations tend to happen over the dinner table than over dessert. And it's, again, like we touched on this briefly last week too, but it's just, it's naturally celebratory.
Right.
And it's a really fun space.
Yeah, because this past weekend I DJed a wedding in Poughkeepsie.
Ooh, where at?
In Poughkeepsie. It was at Locust Grove. It was so wonderful. Ugh. Just so wonderful. And when I made the announcement for dinner, it was like one vibe. And the second I said dessert was being served, it's like the party started.
Yeah, totally. That is the party.
So I think if you even just talk about sweets, like our brain lights up.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you know anything about why our brains love sugar so much or just like...
Because it is actually a drug. I'm serious. There's so many fascinating films and articles and... I mean, it stresses me out because I work with it all the time and I definitely have a sugar addiction, but it, it hits the same spots in our brain that any addictive substance will.
Yeah. The happiness stuff, but it has to taste good too.
It does. It does. And I think there is a thing is too sweet, which is why vegetable desserts are a nice balance, I think. Like it's not a powdered sugar and milk, super sweet American buttercream.
That's what I love about that. That's why I love... this green cake. I mean, it's so special. Do you have other vegetable sweets that you're planning in the near distant future? I Swiss chard in my teeth.
Just keep eating cake. You'll be fine. At this point, I want to start playing with a lot of vegetable ice creams. And I also want to I want to figure out some sort of like pickled dessert also. Those are kind of my... immediate winter dessert plan.
A pickled dessert,
yeah.
Though? That doesn't sound like it would be sweet, though.
Well you could. You can pickle with sugar as well. Like, you need sugar in a pickling liquid. So, depending on how you incorporated that. Again, I don't know how that's going to happen yet.
Oh, well, there are bread and butter pickles.
Totally.
Are definitely sweet.
Yeah.
So.
And I want to figure out that eggplant jam. That is driving me.
It's driving you crazy.
Like, this has to taste like eggplant. I want it to taste like eggplant.
Now, you mentioned, though, vegetable ice cream.
Yeah.
Like, tell me about that, because that sounds like something I would love. Psychologically, I feel like this is the healthier ice cream.
Oh, it totally
Because,
is.
By the way, this cake that you made, as I'm eating it, I'm like, this is my salad.
Oh, it has a ton of chard.
There's a ton
in that
of
one
chard
cake,
in this.
There's an entire bundle of chard in that one half, like, one pan of 6-inch cake.
See, it's my salad.
There's a huge bundle of chard.
Comes with a lot of other stuff, but it's my salad.
I mean, that's how it's so green. And it's delicious.
I love
and
it.
Sweet and
dessert-y. So ice creams would look like.
My favorite ice cream is corn ice cream, and that is not anything unique. I've had it many places. Really good with cinnamon on it.
Right.
But I also really love like swirling caramels in, obviously, to ice cream, and so you can do tomato caramels or beet caramel.
I love that so much.
I'm making a wedding cake for the co-founder of the farm next weekend. And so I'm going to this week be playing with a bunch of different colorful vegetable-focused caramels that can be just dripping down her naked cake. It's going to be really beautiful and delicious.
How much tomato do you need to add into a caramel to make it tomato-flavored?
So the whole thing is, like, it starts with tomato juice.
Of course.
Yeah. So it just depends on the size of the batch, but the only ingredients are fresh tomato juice, sugar, and then maybe some butter, which you could also do a compound butter. Compound butter is a really fun way to incorporate stuff also, because you can do...
What is that?
Oh, so a compound butter is anything that you want to mix into your butter, and then you let it harden.
Oh, of course. Of
and
course.
So then it's flavored or colored
I'm
or whatever.
I'm not savvy with the
Sorry.
Chef terms.
neither am I. Just eat a lot of cake. So you can also add a compound butter into your caramel. And then, again, like that tomato paste at the end is the game changer. Or carrot paste or whatever vegetable caramel you want to make. And they're so beautifully colored. Like, that is the other really fun part. I made for our last event of the season at Brooklyn Grange this year, I wanted the entire harvest to be in one cake. That was my goal.
Oh my gosh.
And I was like, I don't even know if this will work or taste good, but that's what I'm going to do. And it came out so beautiful. It was just a giant rainbow. Like, we had kale cake mixed with this weird dense carrot juice pound cake that was bright orange. So the bright green from the kale, alternating with the orange of the carrot. And then like a spiced red pepper buttercream. So that was like a dark orange color. And then a bright red tomato caramel, and then a hot pink beet buttercream. All of it.
All of that sounds so amazing. If you need a wedding cake that is that much more special, like, totally reach out to Rose. Rose, how do people find you?
So go to Instagram, follow me at Whisk Me Away Cakes. Whisk Me Away. And my website is at whiskmeawaycakes.com. And please reach out. I also have a coffee with a stranger policy, and I try and meet a stranger once a week. It usually doesn't happen quite so often.
Coffee
but that's
with a stranger.
Goal. Yeah, met a really, really, really good group of people in New York that way. So please, please reach out.
She's saying reach out. McAdoo part two.
McAdoo part two.
Any closing thoughts on the cakes and the veggies and weddings and so on? And congrats, by the way, on that issue.
Oh. Thank you.
That's fantastic. New York Magazine cake section. Look for Rose.
I'm just happy to be here a second week. Thanks for hanging out with me 2 weeks in a row and talking about all of the ways that dessert can make an impact in the world. I really appreciate it.
Oh my gosh, you're wonderful. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening. Again, Rose, thank you for being here
thank
for
you,
part
thank
two.
You.
I'm going to end the show again with Jordan Knox. She's going to be our theme song for the season. This song is called The One. This show, Wedding Cake, is produced by Heritage Radio Network, a nonprofit, member-supported radio station devoted to all things food. Help keep Heritage Radio Network alive by becoming a member today. Go to heritageradionetwork.org and click on the beating heart to donate. Do it now and come back for another slice of wedding cake.
Is it a dream that I'm here with you? I've been wanting this since I could think. That old love's done, it's in my rear view. A love like this makes life make sense. Can we be happy till life's complete? A love that never ceases in time. A love that only true love can find. My heart, my baby, my keys, my everything. My nothing even matters. I'm coming home to my queen. Tears in my eyes as you walk down the aisle. A love that won't hide. A love that makes a room shut up.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.